On episode 66 of the Mini PC Show, Doors Flying Solo, we talk about Libra.computer, and we talk about a Raspberry Pi cluster with a whole lot of processors. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mini PC Show, episode 66. This is Door to Door Geek. I'm all alone this evening. Brian got called out on the road, and Rich was running late. This is a show all about mini computers, mini computing, Raspberry Pis, Orange Pis, Banana Pis, all kinds of mini computing and operating systems like Raspbian, Armbian, Diet Pi, all those things put together in one show. We don't really have much feedback in this episode. This will be a shorter episode. The first thing I want to say is thank you to Richard Klein. Richard Klein did send me the Banana Pi Pro. I literally just got this opened up. This is the mini computer now. It's about a year and a half, maybe 2 years old. But it does have a couple things that not a lot of other ones have, which is it does have a real SATA port on it to where you can hook up external drives to it, full type drives. He also included some connectors for some barrel jacks, which I'm sure will come in handy at some point in time. So I just want to say thank you, Richard, very much. It will be good, be put to good use. Now here's a real reason why I want it. Right now I have a Banana Pi Pro up and running in production, if you will. And it's been running in production now for, I want to say, solidly 2 years with no unplanned downtime, thanks to my RAV powder power battery backup that can charge and discharge at the same time. But also because I believe the hardware is built in such a way that nothing is getting overly stressed by running this. So there's little heat problems, there's little memory leak types problems or anything like that. It's a very stable setup. I have connected to it a 240 gig external SSD drive. It's running Bananian and it's running Own Cloud, O-W-N-C-L-O-W-D, which is basically my personal Dropbox. What I'm going to do is now take this second Banana Pi Pro and I'm going to install Next Cloud on it. Long story short, the founder, creator of Own Cloud did not like how the company was going, didn't like where the software was going. So he basically left the company, took his source code, the original source for it, forked it, started his own version of it. So now Own Cloud is going to continue on to be a more enterprise-focused solution with tie-ins to like Active Directory being a like core component type thing of it and all the enterprise type needs, where Nextcloud looks like it's going for more of a small office, home office, personal use case. Both of them have add-ons or plugins or extensions, which I personally like in any software, but I can't take my main rig down. I can't take the main Banana Pi Pro down because I literally have now 14 or so people connecting to it, delivering episodes to it automatically from their desktop client installed on their computers, just like Dropbox, where we do a show, they save their audio locally, it gets pushed up to this server, I pull it down, then I do the editing. So it's not just for my use. If it was just for my use, I would have no problem taking it down for a couple of days, figuring out Nextcloud, getting it back up and running, but I can't. Other people are using it. So I'm going to use this Banana Pi Pro and try to get Nextcloud up and running and then make the transition as smooth as possible for all the people. This is where you need more of like a project manager focused task list, where I'm going to take the new Banana Pi Pro, do my initial research, which operating system to pick, which version of Nextcloud to pick. Is it the newest one or is it a key one that was out maybe, you know, a couple weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago. But then most importantly, make sure that I set up permissions correctly on the new system and have all the usernames and passwords documented and have them all stored in draft emails send out every user of this system a week ahead of time, after I'm done doing all my research, after I'm done putting it on the new hardware, after I'm done doing the configuration, after I'm confident I have it up and running, I'm going to send everybody an email saying in a week, this system will go down. And it's going to be replaced by a new system. And then in a week, send them a new email with their URLs to connect, their URLs to download either clients for Android if possible, iOS if possible, even BlackBerry, Mac OS X, Linux, and Windows, and then also give them their new username and password. And then try to make this as seamless as possible. Now, here's the tip I'm going to give people. With every ARM-based solution I've looked at providing myself, whether it be a mini server for my 3D printer, Node-RED, my Orange Pi Retro Gaming, my Odroid Home Theater in a Box, or my Banana Pi Pro. This is where you need a little bit of Google foo. And when I say Google foo, what I mean is the ability to search for something I'm looking for very specifically, even when I don't know what I'm looking for. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to end up going to Google, full-blown Google on the desktop. You can do it in the mobile browser, but you have to be in the browser and not in Google now. I'm basically just going to search for Bananian, all one word, because that's the key. That's the most stable operating system on the Banana Pi Pro. Bananian Nextcloud installation. And I'm just going to search for that. But then I'm going to go to the inside of Google, the tools and the date option. And I'm going to say, show me everything from the last month and see what I see. I might have to extend that manually to 3 months or 6 months to find something because, again, this is not very new hardware. And I only now trust following steps online for any of this hardware that is the absolute newest thing I can possibly find. If it's a little bit old and the operating system has changed even a little bit, these tutorials seem to never work for me whatsoever. Now, I will say the obvious, in air quote, choice is to look at DietPi, try to install DietPi, and see if they have Nextcloud on it. Well, here's the double-edged sword of doing that. One, it makes the initial research and discovery very easy. But typically with DietPi, when you install a solution like this, you get the bare minimums textbook-like installation, which means I'll have to go in and figure out how to map the storage media to a external drive. I would probably have to figure out how to generate my own TLS, SSL, HTTPS cert on it, because I do want to do this through port 443, not through the normal port 80 in the regular unsecured web. Then I'm also going to have to figure out how to make sure that it can see that it is a full-blown URL and it's not just my IP address on my inside LAN 192.168.1.1 or something. So I'm going to have to go through those growing pains where if I find somebody online showing me how to set it up, it's very possible they will also give me all the steps to do that as well, which, to be honest, will help with my confidence in getting it set up. It might not actually help with getting it set up. With all of these ARM solutions, I find there's always a little bit of trial and error to expect to buy a piece of hardware, get your SD card, put an OS on it, follow these steps online and have something perfect. To expect that is to basically plan for discomfort and, you know, some dissatisfaction. In my experience, it almost always needs a little bit more work, a little bit more research, a little bit more tinkering around to get things running just how I want them to run. Now, I might end up using DietPi. I might end up doing that and then just going to the Nextcloud website, figuring the extra things out I need. And maybe they have it very well documented there. I don't know. When I was doing OwnCloud, OwnCloud seemed to only worry about the very newest of the newest versions on their site, and they didn't really have much for the older versions. And on Raspbian, when I was trying it, I could not get the newest versions because the newest versions of OwnCloud needed newer versions. I want to say PHP and one or two other pieces of software that I just had a really hard time doing. So hopefully this will be an easier process. There's only one way to really find out, and that is to actually do it. And again, I want to thank Richard Klein for the opportunity for this, because I don't want to let my users down. I mean, it's like I'm a domain admin again at work, and I have these users relying on uptime. But to be honest, it's more important than that, because these are my friends and other people on Podnuts expecting this service to work. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to have it done in a week or two. We'll honestly have to wait and see just how long it actually takes. The first time I did the Banana Pi Pro setup, I will say it took a solid 2 weeks tinkering at least every other night in order to get everything set up and running the way that I wanted it to. I want to take a look at some of our links real quick. There is one link here especially that I wanted to talk about, and it's only because I have such mixed feelings about this. Let me copy the URL correctly, come down here and paste it, and it is at libre.computer, libre.computer. This showed up on Kickstarter, and I'm sure a lot of people already saw it. They are putting on Kickstarter a Libre board, computer board, a single board computer at the lowest price of $9. Now, before we go any further, for all I know, they're going to start charge $30 shipping. I don't know. But I will say they have done other campaigns in the past, and I do believe they did deliver in a timely fashion. Of course, they were a little bit late because few people are actually on time. But they did actually deliver. And they have different levels. They have different versions of this. So it isn't like you only get the $9 model. But I will say for the $9 model, you do get quite a lot on this board. You get lots of ports. You get lots of I/O. The basic kit, which the impression I get is the $9 kit, you get a 8 gig eMMC. It's running a Allwinner H2 32-bit processor with 512 megs of RAM with a Mali 400 GPU, and it can run Linux. They advertised this one as being like an IoT-type board. Two of the upgraded versions, there's one with 1 gig of RAM, there's one with 2 gigs of RAM. The lower one of those two has a H3 processor in it. Allwinner H3 processor in it. That is a 32-bit processor. The step up has an H5 64-bit processor. Now, I will say jumping up to 2 gigs and a actual 64-bit processor, I like the sound of that a lot. It also, at this step, upgrades the GPU to the Mali 4 450 that I do like. It looks like even with the basic kit, you will get a case. You will get the nicer things that come with it. You will also be able to get like a remote keyboard, a keyboard the size of a TV remote with the normal TV-like home theater buttons on it. I'm really close to jumping on this. They had a goal of $10,000. They're already up to $21,000. They have 44 days to go, and it is on Kickstarter. There will be a link to this in the notes, so if you want to check it out, you can. Again, for the IoT board, $9. For the 1 gig board, $19. For the 2 gig board, $29. To me, $29 is a very fair price. And this again, and I'm very sorry for saying this so often, this again to me is pressuring people like the Raspberry Pi to do something, release the next board. I heard rumors, and I even believe I read on one of their blogs that the company itself was actually thinking about only doing software, which I think is absolutely insane. They pioneered this hardware. They popularized it. They need to keep pushing that edge further and further out. I will say There is a NIC on this. I do believe it's a 10100 NIC. It also does have four USB 2.0 ports, does have a full-size HDMI port, does have a infrared remote, and it looks like it's getting power over micro USB, which I'm still a fan of, even though I know you're not going to get stuff like USB 3 with that. I'm still, to be honest, okay with that. This is a really good-looking board, but again, this is a Kickstarter. A Kickstarter means there is never any guarantee of getting this at all. When you give money towards a Kickstarter, what you're really doing is just letting them know that you are supporting them, you are wanting them to come out and be real, but there is no guarantee. You're not investing in a company or anything like that. You're just helping them to try to make this thing become real. And again, for as little as $29 for the product itself, I don't know how much shipping is going to cost. You can get one of these with 2 gigs of RAM, especially if you plan on running Android on this, which it does support Android. More RAM makes Android much happier. So you might want to get the 2 gig if you're thinking about that. Really, I like seeing these people pushing. I like seeing companies stressing these limits, seeing how far they can take it. And I hope it becomes more than just a Kickstarter project. Another one I want to talk about just really quick. I heard about this from one of the boards, I want to say, that Brian bought, brought to the show a week or two ago. It's called Yocto, Y-O-C-T-O. And this is a Linux Foundation collaborative project. I'm not, to be honest, completely sure I've wrapped my head around what this is. Okay, this is at yoctoproject.org. What this looks like is they're trying to design a template to allow software people to follow in order to make software distributable on multiple platforms. So when I say multiple platforms, I don't mean Intel, AMD, and ARM. I mean the different types of ARM is what it looks like. This is specifically for embedded Linux, and I know they have 32 and 64 bit in embedded Linux on Intel chips, but embedded Linux, in my opinion, tries to focus more on the lower power chips. And this is really interesting. What this looks like, it's Yocto, it's going to be able to enable developers a quicker path to development, is what it looks like. It's definitely interesting. If I was a developer, I would be looking at this and seeing if it can help me. If you are a developer or you know somebody who is trying to be a real developer for actual micro boards, mini computers, you might want to check them out. It does look like they have a lot of their code on GitHub at git.yoctoproject.org. So that's really interesting. I'll say that. These are the kind of things I like seeing, because this tells me that the ARM infrastructure, the micro board mini computer thing, is not slowing down. It's doing a pretty good job of keeping up. It's a pretty good job of catching more eyeballs still. And hopefully just keeps on getting more and more popular. With Elon Musk and everybody doing more things about rockets and space, I do expect the cost of these boards to keep coming down and down more and more. There was one more link in here I wanted to talk about, but I do not see it. It was about a insane... Oh, here it is. ZDNet.com, not by Stephen J. Von Nichols, which kind of shocked me, but by Liam Tung, which is a fantastic name. He basically documents here a Raspberry Pi supercomputer. Yes, I did say a Raspberry Pi supercomputer, which some people might say is an oxymoron, but it really isn't. What they did was they took 10,000 Raspberry Pis and they loaded it basically in a cluster type environment to turn it into a supercomputer. Now, in side news, tangent news, which I didn't see a link for in our notes, Red Hat just released their first official distribution, or the specs of the distribution, for an ARM-based Red Hat Linux. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people might not realize just how big, just how influential, just how much money Red Hat makes. But let me tell you something. They're a multi-billion dollar company, and they don't sell software. They only sell support, which means every dollar they get is an active dollar. It's not like somebody's buying the product and then they go away for a year. These are people who are continuing to pay them over and over again. So they're very successful. So for them to come out with a true ARM-based operating system has the potential to make incredible waves in server infrastructure in at least their customers and their clients. A lot of customers are already perfectly comfortable with allowing into their data center small pieces of hardware where they don't have to maintain what's inside it, and it's just a closed box that they put in their rack and it provides a service to their company and they don't have to really worry about maintaining it. The actual vendor remotes into it and does software updates. Well, if now because of ARM, they can give you something even smaller and with even less heat and less power needs, it's only going to be more desirable to the end customer because it's going to cost less for their upkeep when it comes to temperature control and for its power needs. But since I said power needs, this 10,000 Raspberry Pi board, it actually only has what it looks like, 150 four-core Raspberry Pi boards totaling 750 CPUs, which represent 3,000 cores is what it says. This is an insane supercomputer. I'm sure it's nothing more than a glorious proof of concept, but this is the kind of thing that can only lead to an actual company trying to offer basically a supercluster for dedicated needs, whether it be, and I don't want to say Bitcoin mining because we know how stressful they are. We know how expensive their devices are. They're not cheap. But doing certain very specific needs with this kind of cluster could be definitely possible, definitely plausible. And now with Red Hat doing a formal operating system for ARM, I see these kinds of things only growing in popularity and actually becoming a real thing. It might take a year or more for it to actually hit people's data centers, but I do think it's only a matter of time. And that's all I really have for tonight's episode. Sorry for the short episode, guys, but I will let you know if you do have anything that you would like to say to us. There's multiple ways you can do it. You can either send us a voicemail at 7076podnut, or you can send us an email at minipcshow@podnuts.com, or you can go to podnuts.com, click on the links, go through the contact form and send us one there. I want to thank everyone for their support. Thank everyone who did go out to patreon.com/theminipcshow. Right now we do have a live stream going to that Patreon. We do have a couple people out there. And if you want to be able to watch this show live, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/the mini PC show. We are up to 8 Patreons. Let me take a second here to thank, starting from the top, John, Aaron, Yuki Treats, William, Tom, Jordan, Christian, and John. Thank you guys very much. Without your support, this would be a lot more painful, a lot more difficult to do. You guys help make this a fun thing to do all the time. And please, everyone, send feedback, send questions, send anything you want into the show, and we will definitely answer that for you. And with that, we will talk to everyone in about a week.
My name is Jeff Hallisch. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer repair podcast live.